Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, crucified and risen, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The second lesson on in your worship folder, the back page, will occupy our attention this morning. It's from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. For our visitors today, I'd just like to mention that we do have a children's room behind the glass with speakers on. If your children get restless, you need to take them out. Always reminds me of my mother talking about all seven of us sitting with her while Dad was preaching, and how she had years there where she didn't actually get to hear a sermon because she was so busy keeping the stair steps in line. But I do want to point out that in our worship folder at the bottom of the second page, the website is listed there. We record the sermons week by week so that you can go and listen to them. If you hear one that's especially helpful and comforting to you, you can share that link with friends by email or whatever and spread God's word. That's the technology God has given us. And you know good and well it's not to make money. The technology is to spread the word of God while there's still time before the last trumpet sounds. We're worshiping the Lord today from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Dearly redeemed believers who trust in Jesus as our crucified Lord and Savior, it's a shock to see one police car after another parking on your side of the street. To look a few doors down and see them gather with guns out by the garage door. And to go in very carefully. Not the movies. A shock neighborhood with many questions and too few answers. Because a son came home and found his father had left a note before he took his own life. And the police officers just comment, "I'm not at liberty to say." But the truck towing the family van with the crimson stained windows tells too much of the story. Children with questions. Moms and dads with no answers. Husbands and wives just baffled. "We didn't know. What could I have said last time I talked with him? What do you say now? What can you do?" Our neighborhood's not happy this week. But it was just a great privilege for me that evening to be able to study these words of our Lord. Because always the Lord knows just when we need to read this particular word, to hear it learn it, mark it down, and find comfort from it, and perhaps something to say when the Lord presents the opportunity. And this old refrain going through my head again and again, thinking about this neighbor friend of mine, if we can hold on through the night, where did that come from? It's been several songs over the years, but the internet search, Maureen McGovern, The Poseidon Adventure, 1972. But all sorts of other information about hold on through the night. And you read those words at a time like that, and I've got to tell you, they ring as hollow as deep space. But this is comfort from Revelation 21. This is reality. This is the reason to hold on through the night, not like just people trying to make themselves feel better. Hold on to what we have. Don't let go. It'll get better. But real comfort, real peace from our Lord God, who tells us the best is yet to be. This is the night, and day is yet to come. A day promised by God from eternity, bought and paid for with the blood of Christ the Lamb, guaranteed by His resurrection. Hold on through the night, not empty words from God, but something that helps us see why we are so despondent and depressed at times. Why just blue? He shows us our sin. He shows us that all the distress in the world happens because Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and we follow in their evil footsteps with every evil word we say, every bad thought, even our own selfish turning in on ourselves and forgetting about friends, family, and everyone who needs us. It's our sin, but here is our Savior. And what He did to take those sins away, to show us this thirst that we have, to show us His love in such a way so that He kindles in us a love for Him, a love that thirsts for God's salvation, with something to look forward to. Get this, living together with God. Living together with God. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Didn't come from a song, not a modern song, but an ancient song, 1,000 years before Christ, from the inspired pen of the psalmist David. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God's anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I can't tell you how many times, in the midst of my own despondency as a teenager, those words lifted me up. You need to mark them in your Bible when times are good and you think, those are great words, mark them. So that you can go back when you're feeling down and look at each of those underlined passages like stepping stones across that river of sorrow. And those stepping stones will take you safely to the other side. And you read those words that have comforted you in the past, and they will comfort you again. Because weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And then look back after all these years and say, thank you, God, for parents that took me to Sunday school and told me I had to go when I didn't want to, who sat me down and made me memorize those commandments, and the pastors and teachers who faithfully told me God's truth. Thou shalt not kill. God is stern with that command. But He's also so sweet and loving with other words my parents taught me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was that kind of comfort and instruction that helped me when I needed to counsel college students, one of whom had attempted suicide years before that, and I knew it. How do you counsel them? with the same comfort you yourself have received. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God gives us every reason to hold on until help arrives. When you look at these things in the light of God's holy word, you realize that in your depression and your sorrow, it's like you're too high up in a building that's on fire, and you know you need to get out. So you feel the handle into the hallway, and it's so hot, it shouts at you, turn around. Don't go that way. You hear the sirens calling you to the window. Wait. Help is on the way. The Lord's promises are sure. When he makes a promise, he intends to fulfill it, and he has the power and the love to do it. He always does. And if you ever doubt that, take a pencil and a piece of paper and make one vertical line and then make one horizontal line and look at what that means for you. The cross is proof that cannot be argued away. How could he not love you and fulfill all his promises for you when this is what he did for you and shed his blood to make you his own? Oh, not just words, but sweet comfort that lifts us up and helps us hold on. And when we're too weak to realize, he will hold on to us. Wait for the day. John, in his loneliness of exile on the prison island of Patmos, is seeing this vision of seven visions. And here, toward the end of Revelation in chapter 21, he was told to look up. Then I looked and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." How much more intimately, lovingly, kindly, winsomely could the Almighty God put this in terms to win our hearts? He wants it with the intensity of love that a bridegroom feels for his dear bride. But he doesn't see us with all the sickness and sores of our selfishness, of a materialism and greed and our wayward bent to do evil. He doesn't see that because he's covered it and washed it all away. He gives this bride a wedding gown that you could not buy in any store. Bright, shining, beautiful, clean, and holy. He clothes us in his righteousness and says this is all ours in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in that word-powered water of baptism. The Bible says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Baptized into his dear name. We are shown that bridge and given the power to walk over it, the bridge over our despair, our despondency, our sin, our rebellion. God laid a bridge over that deep valley of human sorrow with the cross of his own Son. And he calls everyone, "Come, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Could he want it any better than to say, "Come over to the other side by faith in Jesus. Whoever believes in the Son has crossed over from death to life. It's done. Has crossed over. Wait. Because those nail-pierced hands of your heavenly bridegroom will someday dry the tears from your eyes with his own hands. Come. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing will come in the morning." Or as the Lord inspired Isaiah to say it, "The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and sorrow will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. In the presence of God, sorrow and sadness cannot live, cannot exist. Gone forever. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. Not of body, not of soul. Because that's the old order of things. God's great day, when that last trumpet sounds, when that mountaintop honeymoon is ours with God, tenting with Him, as He says literally, we'll be living together with God forever. This is a short day of sorrow. That day is forever with God. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything new. Everybody knows that movies like The Poseidon Adventure are just make-believe. And people do try to get help. Maybe my neighbor did. Some of you have. I have. And sometimes the words that people say that are meant to help you are just nice wishes. They're kind of ways to tell you to cope by ignoring the problem. But if you're sensitive enough in your tender heart to realize, you know, things are getting worse, my health is failing, it's not what it should be in the family, in the marriage, and those words that people speak to try to help, oh, it'll get better. What do you do when it's not? Where do you go? You go to Him who says, these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. Write this down. It's only from God that we get words that are trustworthy and true. Why would we go anywhere else except to our Creator, who fashioned this mind and body and made this soul, and loved us so much that when we rebelled, He sent His one and only Son to be the Redeemer, to buy again what He had created, to buy us back from sin, death, and hell, to shed the only blood that was innocent enough to wash away the sins of all people of all time, so that it's an announcement that the good news is said. It's an announcement that Christians are making in this gospel of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Things are right with God. The Redeemer purchased it with His blood. And our dear Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, the one who's called the Counselor, He brings this to us in the foolishness of preaching. This single book of 66 books that God has treasured up over all this time so that He can win our hearts and give us the comfort that we need. Why go anywhere else but to the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier? Drugs can't do this. If you have talked to someone who is taking antidepressants, one pastor told a group of us that it makes you feel a euphoric feeling, but you don't really feel joy in here. Was it this week that they announced the study that says that people on antidepressants are more likely to commit suicide? That's not a good track record. But this word of life, if you just recognize in your sadness and your sorrow that this is a time when I need to sit myself down and forget everything else and open my Bible and let God feed me. It was my mother that told me about the Psalms. 150 of them in the Old Testament, the old hymn book of the old ancient believers. In the Psalms, you have every emotion from the deepest sadness to the greatest joy and everything in between, and all sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So that in the good times, you're loading up and filling the batteries for those difficult times when the terrain is rough and it's hard to get across that water and you're prepared for it. And then when you come to those times, you're ready, because the Lord is with you in His holy word, strengthening you, blessing you, making everything new. Write this down, He says. These words are trustworthy and true. And the one who says it? The eternal God. He lives in the eternal present, What for us is past, present, and future, for him is just today. So when God makes a promise, it is as good as done. And this is how God separates the unreligion of the Bible. The Bible has an unreligion compared to all the earth's religions. Because earthly religions all say, do this and do that, and keep on trying. You make yourself right with God. And the unreligion of the Bible is what Jesus said just before he died. In the Greek, it's a single word, tetelestai. It is finished. The Bible message is not do, but done. And so the Lord said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the A to Z. The beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the water of life. You know what part of our problem is? We're like little babies. We don't know what's bothering us. When our children were very small, one of the grandmas said, you know, remember that after you fed them, burped them, diapered them, they might just still be thirsty. And young parents don't always think of such things. And it's true. They're just thirsty. You notice that when children are growing up, and maybe adults are like this too because they're falling asleep in the chair instead of just going to bed, you know, we don't really realize unless someone tells us, you're thirsty. And so the Lord wants to identify those dark feelings inside of us as spiritual thirst and show us this spring of living water that he promises at the beginning of end. If you're thirsty, I will give this drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. You can't cap this spring. This is a powerful artesian well. It flows down the middle of Main Street in God's holy city, the New Jerusalem. It flows continuously with life for everyone who drinks. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. He said, stoop down and drink and live. And so I drank with this thirsty soul of mine. And he gave me peace. He gave me joy. He made me useful. He turned me outside instead of letting me die inside. Stoop down and drink and live. Everything new, trustworthy and true. The grace that brought us safe thus far will surely bring us home. Godspeed the day. Amen. Please rise.